The first one is three generations. Depression days when we were wed, our lives were all a flutter. Times were hard, but we got fed on bread and peanut butter. Our boys were born, and before they'd walk, the first words that they'd utter, as they were learning how to walk, talk, were bread and peanut butter. The family's gone, they're out and gone. I still hear my wife mutter, I'll feed the grandkids like my own on bread and peanut butter. Well, now we're old and pressure's few, and mostly we just putter. While all these poor old gums can chew is bread and peanut butter. Time, you sneaked up on me. You stolen my youth, and you won't let me be. You sat on me now till my shoulders droop. My back hurts fiercely whenever I stoop. My hands tremble, too, from the visits we've had. My hearing's not good, and my eyesight is bad. Time, old buddy, why didn't you say? Why didn't you warn me you'd traveled this way? For friends of the aged, blessed are they who understand my faltering steps and palsied hand. Blessed are they who know that my ears today must strain to catch the things they say. Blessed are they who seem to know that my eyes are dim and my wits are slow. Blessed are they who looked away when coffee spilled at the table today. Blessed are they with a cheery smile who talked to chat for a little while. Blessed are they who never say, you've told that story twice today. Blessed are they who know the ways to bring back memories of yesterday. Blessed are they who make it known that I'm loved, respected, and not alone. Blessed are they who know I'm at a loss to find the strength to carry the cross. Blessed are those who ease the days of my journey home in loving ways. A prayer for the aged. Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself that I am growing older and some will someday be old. Keep me from getting talkative and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every habit. Release me from craving to try to strengthen out everybody's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pains. Help me to endure them with patience. But seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They're increasing, and my love for rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally it's possible that I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint, but some of them are so hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Make me thoughtful, but not moody, helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. I would rather have a little rose from the garden of a friend than flowers strewn around my casket when my days on earth must end. I would rather have a living smile from one I know is true than tears shed around my casket when this world I bid adieu. Bring me all the flowers today, whether pink or white or red. I'd rather have one blossom now than a truckload when I'm dead. The blizzard of 1978. The weatherman on Wednesday said, as far as I can tell, the snow will start this evening and the wind will blow as well. Then sure enough it started in, for once that guy was right. The snow kept falling faster as the day turned into night. Each little while we'd take a look to check up on the storm. Each time was more discouraging as drifts had taken form. What seemed like an eternity, the storm kept going strong. All through that night, and next day too, another night so long. Then came Friday morning, with the sun so very bright. Now all was peace and quiet, after such a hellish night. But now 4 years have almost passed, and what stories we relate. There's not a person who'll forget the blizzard of 78 by John Cox, Newcastle, Indiana. Spring in Indiana. When it's spring in Indiana and the soft south breezes blow, we forget the howling blizzard and the days of ice and snow. Ours is a varied climate, and we like it just that way, for it surely would be boring to have sunshine every day. We enjoy the changing seasons with their shades of green and gold. We see Mother Nature's magic when the leaves and buds unfold. It is then we walk the woodlands, picking violets as we go, to a little place secluded where the wild sweet williams grow. Here beside a singing brooklet, there's manna for the soul, and we pause to rest a moment while the hurried seasons roll. Then we catch a scent familiar that is Hoosier through and through, and we recognize it quickly as our neighbor's barbecue. Oh, it seems as nothing's finer could assail the nose of man than the fragrance of the bacon sizzling in a pan. But there's more to Indiana than a dreamy, lazy spring, and we can't forget the duties that the days of summer bring. Wooded hills and fertile valleys, rolling fields of corn and wheat, and a charm to Indiana that is mighty hard to beat. Though we walk in far off places and in worldly marts we toil, we can never shake the traces of our Indiana soil. For it clings about our person in our manner and our speech, and it sticks with us forever like the fuzz upon a peach. Ain't God Good to Indiana by William Herschel. Ain't God good to Indiana? Folks, a feller never knows just how close he is to even till sometime he ups and goes, seeking fairer, greener pastures than he has right here at home, where there's sunshine in the clover and there's honey in the comb, where the ripple on the river kind of chuckles on the flow. Ain't God good to Indiana? Ain't he, fellers? Ain't he, though? Ain't God good to Indiana? Seems to me he has a way getting me out all of humor just to see how long I'll stay. When I get the gypsy feeling that I'd like to find a spot where the crowds ain't quite so restless or the sun don't shine so hot. But I don't get far, I'll tell you, till I'm whispering soft and low, ain't God good to Indiana? Ain't he, fellers? Ain't he, though? Ain't God good to Indiana? Other spots may look as fair, but they lack the soothing something in the Hoosier sky and air. They don't have that sun-up feeling like a mother gives a child. They don't soak you, soul and body, with their breezes soft and mild. They don't know the joys of heaven have their birthplace here below. Ain't God good to Indiana? Ain't he, fellers? Ain't he, though? Two Valentines. Those wonderful long-ago days we knew we'd be happy always. I was yours and you were mine, two devoted Valentines. Difficult years had passed away, yet we stayed together, you and I. I'm still yours and you are mine, two gray-haired Valentines. Sometimes life is good, often bad. One day we're happy, the next day sad. I'll stay yours if you'll stay mine, two tired old Valentines. What is a sweetheart? A sweetheart is the someone you could write a book about, the one you love to be with and you hate to be without. A sweetheart is a knowing look, a hand within your own, the voice you always want to hear when you pick up the phone. A sweetheart understands your moods and laughs at things you say, or sees you at your worst but loves you anyway. A sweetheart is the one you kiss and make up with again when there's a little difference of opinion every now and then. A sweetheart is someone you're always thinking of, and a very special reason why you'd know that you are in love. Heart's Ease by Valda Kester Corey, Indiana. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, call this assurance if you must. But when it's time to say farewell, to one you love, it's just plain hell. There is no word, no healing balm, to fill the void, restore the calm. And not a thing one can say will drive the quick, hot tears away. We look upon the empty chair and seek the one no longer there. And so heartbreaking is the pain, we question if we'll meet again. How grim instead of this mess should be, the bitter end, eternity. Just some vague dream conceived by man, and not a part of any plan. But God has taken such great care to note the sparrow in the air. His love alone can cover all, and mark a simple sparrow's fall. And if he cares for birds that fly, then he must hear my anguish cry. Dear God, I will yield my grief to thee, for thou alone can comfort me. After misfortune strikes, one gets awfully lonesome living all alone, and their steps get much shorter as they have older grown. There are lots of fond memories as you sit and ponder, and it may be hard to realize your dear companion has gone up yonder. Then as you sit and gaze about you, you spy a picture on the wall, which causes you to fill up with emotion, and you take a big gulp. It may be pretty tough sledding, it's so much different now, but by gritting your teeth and urging yourself, you'll get along somehow. By Leon O. Hayworth, Farmersburg, Indiana. Things to Overlook. In this maze of modern living, happiness is hard to find, for each day is filled with problems that play havoc with the mind. Little things keep us entangled in a web of constant strain, and for every bit of sunshine, there's a barrel full of rain. But there is a way to detour many of the vexing things and go about from day to day with a heart that sings. It's in knowing when to listen or just when to close your eyes, or how to cast aside the trifles that will nurture sordid skies. Things like gossip and long glances should be left to fade away. Hatred also should be stifled. These are breeders of decay. You will find extra joy and gladness as you page through life's short book, if you know the things to notice and the things to overlook. Stargazing. Whenever I behold the stars that glisten in the sky, I'm prone to think about this life, its reasons, and its why. For stars are magic magnets that stir my deepest thoughts and make me ponder on the things that can't be sold or bought. Like love and faith and friendship, these always come to mind whenever I observe the diamonds God gives all mankind. On looking, I am made to think how small we humans are, and I begin to wonder if we'll ever reach that far.
Yes, all of this I'm blessed to see. It's utterly amazing. I know you will agree with me. It's fun to go stargazing. I'm fine. How about you? There's nothing whatever the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as I can be. I have arthritis in both knees, and when I talk with a wheeze. My pulse is weak and my blood is thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. My teeth will eventually have to come out, and my diet I hate to think about. I'm overweight and I can't get thin. My appetite is such that it's sure to win, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Arch supports I have for my feet, or I wouldn't be able to go on the street. My memory is failing, my head's in a spin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Old age is golden, I've heard it said, but sometimes I wonder as I go to bed. My ears in a drawer, my teeth in a cup, my eyes on the shelf until I get up. When my sleep dims my eyes, I say to myself, is there anything else I could put on the shelf? When I was young, my slippers were red. I could kick my heels right up over my head. When I was older, my slippers were blue, but I could still dance the whole night through. Now I'm old, my slippers are black. I walk to the corner and puff my way back. The reason I know my youth is spent. My get up and go just got up and went. But I really don't mind when I think with a grin all the places my get up has been. I get up each morning and dust off my wits, pick up the paper and read through all bits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. The moral of this, as this tale unfolds, that for you and me who are growing old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to let them know the shape we are in. Homemaker's Prayer by Frankie R. Montgomery. Dear Lord, forgive me when I don't take time to pray in a reverent fashion with psalms of praise and well-ordered amens. The dishes must be washed and the floors swept. There are many things to do and very little time. But thou who knowest every thought must know I love thee, no matter how I express my love or my thanks and praise. And thou wilt understand, I know, that children need to be fed and husbands too, and counsel with a voice gentle but firm. Souls and bodies both need strengthening, for thou hast said, man does not live by bread alone. So when I sing a lullaby to a sleepy babe, a humble, simple tune, accept it, Lord, my offering. I live a prayer unending all day long. Prayer of Love by Deborah Robertson. When I count my blessings, Lord, let each who is dear to me always stay close to my heart for all eternity. For no other gift in heaven or earth could be so precious, Lord, as all the love within my heart for those whom I adore. For love itself has come from God. God gave his love to man, from man to woman and to babe, and there's thus dear love again. So heed these words and love will grow within the heart of man, and in all that mansion in the sky we all shall love again. Early Morning Risers. Looking through my window, I can see the sun-drenched trees, leaves all are fluttered lightly in an early morning breeze. Birds are chirping gaily on the branches overhead. I cannot be sedately like an errant sleepyhead. I must be out and with them at the breaking of the day and listen to the loon call as it sounds across the bay. Although he may sound lonely, I'm surely that cannot be. He's just an early riser, courting daybreak, just like me. how true it is. If times are hard and you feel blue, think of others worrying too. Just because your trials are many, don't think the rest of us haven't any. Life is made up of smiles and tears, joys and sorrows mixed with fears. And though to us it seems one-sided, troubles are pretty well divided. If you could look into every heart, you'd find that each has had its part. Those who travel fortune's road sometimes carry the biggest load. Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for a living. But a child that's born on the Sabbath day is fair and wise and good and gay. On Thanksgiving Eve, I stand late in the field facing the sky, thanking my God for the day just gone by. I thank him for men with purpose and might who tamed the wild earth to make futures bright. Thank him for women with visions to see what these vast acres could actually be. I thank him for sunshine and mercy and rain. I thank him for cattle, bins full of grain. I thank him for love. I thank him for life. And I thank him again, I'm a country wife. With heart overflowing, I turn to the west. I thank him for sunsets, and I feel I am blessed. Reassurance. I find him in each leaf and flower, in desert wind, in sudden shower. I hear him in the ocean's roar, in thunderous music against the shore. In mountain, valley, hillside, stream, his hand is there, his love is seen. Uncharted skies and patient earth proclaim his wonders and his worth. I glance him in the eyes of man, whose basic goodness none can stand. He is my strength, he is my might, my freedom and my great delight. Because he is everywhere and all, I cannot stray beyond his call. By Ethel A. Clark. This next is especially meaningful to Bob, and I'd like to read it now. A battalion of soldier boys had been given copies of the Bible, the New Testament, and the Old Testament. They were then given strict orders that each was to use the Bible at the services on Sunday. The following Sunday, while the soldiers were at service, the officer of the day made an inspection and found that one soldier had not brought the new Bible. So he was searched, and the only thing in his pocket was a deck of cards. He was told to report to the commanding officer on Monday. When he reported, he was reprimanded and then asked if he had anything to say in his own defense. This is the way he replied. Sir, this pack of cards means a great deal in my life and tells me what is in the Bible and even more. For the one spot tells me that there is but one God. The two spot tells me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. The three spot that there are three persons in the Holy Trinity. The fourth spot that the New Testament was written by four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The fifth spot that there are five foolish and five wise virgins. The sixth spot that the world was created in 6 days. The seventh spot that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath, on which I must pay my respects to my Creator. The seventh spot reminds me of the eight Beatitudes, the great sermon preached by our Lord. The ninth spot tells me on the nine lepers who did not return to the Savior to give thanks. The tenth spot reminds me of the Ten Commandments which I must keep to save my soul. The jack is the knave, the devil who goes about seeking the destruction of souls. The queen is the mother of heaven, the mother of God. The king is the kingdom of heaven, which will be my reward of a good life. Even more than that, this pack of cards also is an almanac for me. There are 52 cards in the deck, telling me there are 52 Sundays in each year. Add up the spots and you will find 365 in all, telling me there are 365 days in the year. In all, there are 12 face cards to the deck, which tells me there are 12 calendar months in the year. There are four various suits, hearts, diamonds, spades, clubs, signifying the four seasons of the year, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. There are light and dark cards, telling me that each 24 hours is divided into day and night. This is the meaning of a pack of cards to me. I have nothing more to say. The next article I'm going to read was a favorite of Bob's. Editorial reprint. Reprinted from the U.S. News and World Report. In these days of unrelieved foreboding and gloomy news, all of us in this country could do with a little bucking up. It isn't often that we get a chance to see ourselves as our neighbors see us and be cheered by the image. Some time ago, Gordon Sinclair, the Canadian radio and TV commentator, broadcast an editorial from Toronto. Any number of people in this country heard it and or since have read it, as it has been widely reprinted in newspapers in the United States and was inserted in the Congressional Record and became the subject of many editorials. Mr. Sinclair's commentary makes especially heartening reading right now. For the benefit of those who have missed it, a part of it is presented here. Harold Felkler, editor. This Canadian thinks it is time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people on the earth. German, Japan, and to a lesser extent, Britain and Italy were lifted out of the dirt of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debt. None of these countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up, and the reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. I was there. I saw it. When the distant cities are hit by earthquakes, it is the United States that hurries in to help. This spring, 59 American communities were flattened by tornadoes. Nobody helped. The Marshall Plan and the Truman Policy pumped billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. Now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decamp, warmongering Americans. I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollars build its own airplanes. Come on, let's hear it. Does any other country in the world have the plane to equal the Boeing jumbo jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas team? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all the international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technology and you get radios. You talk about German technology and you get automobiles. You talk about American technology and you find men on the moon, not once but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals, and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even their draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They are here on our streets, and most of them
unless they are breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend here. When the Americans get out of this bind, and they will, who could blame them if they said, the hell with the rest of the world, let someone else buy the bombs, let someone else build or repair foreign dams, or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railroad of France, Germany, and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who built them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both are still broke. I could name you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name me even one time when somebody else raced to help the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone. And I'm one Canadian who is damn tired of hearing them kicked around. They will come out of this thing with their flag high, and when they do, they are entitled to thumb their nose at the lands that are building over their present trouble. Oh, I hope Canada is not one of these. Not one of these. I recorded these poems in 1985. My prayer, Lord, warm my kitchen with your love, and light it with your peace. Forgive me all my worries, and make my grumbling cease. Amen.